Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I've seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the heaps and dams. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim of flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His day is marching on. And he has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is swifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Sing glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on. Our God is marching on. Amen.
Amen. I know you were just standing, but this next song's a little hard to sing sitting down. Would you stand with me if you're able as we sing America the Beautiful?
Father, we thank you for this morning. We are so, so enriched just to be able to think about this nation and this gift that you have given to us. Lord, we've lived our lives in a country knowing freedom, knowing liberty, knowing the ability to make choices, oh God, that, Lord, can just give us just such joy and such abundance. And so, God, as we open this service with patriotic music today, we just want to thank you for this nation. We thank you for how it was founded and how the roots of it came up and what it has become over the years. And, Lord, we know today that there are things and issues and circumstances. And, God, we've all lived long enough to know that it's not the country that it used to be, but you're the same God. You don't change. God, what you did in the beginning, you can do again. And so we just trust you today. We thank you today. We thank you for bringing us together. We're grateful today that we have the privilege and the freedom, like unlike some countries that don't have the freedom to gather and to worship the one true God. We're able to come together today to talk to you, to talk to one another, to celebrate, to, Lord, just honor you for the goodness that you've been to us, for the salvation and the cross of Christ and all that you've done to make us truly free and truly liberated, God. We are liberated in America today, but even greater than that, we are liberated in our hearts and lives because of Jesus. Lord, I ask today that you would bless each one. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Enrich this day, enrich this hour that we're together. May we just have a life change. God, let every one of us not leave this place today the way that we came in. God, some came in just on top of the world. Just let them rise even higher. And those that are discouraged, those that are down, those that have gone through a fire this week, the fiery trials or the difficulties of life, let today be a day where their spirits are lifted, where they feel the presence of God in a great and mighty way. Lord, we just offer our lives and we offer this service to you, giving you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning, church. It is so good to see you today. I'm so glad that you're here. It's a little rainy out there. Seems like I get here just before it rains. I get here pretty early. Not as early as Steve, but pretty early. Not as early as Bill, but pretty early. And it's like, okay, no rain so far. And then I step out to see what's going on and if anybody's coming, and there's the rain. But thank you for being here today. You know, there's an old song that says, in the world a little rain has to fall, and we need rain sometimes. Just to remind us of how good God is. Remind us of the sunshine. But you're here today. It's summertime. And, you know, we're just so glad that you've made the effort, the time, and the desire to be here. And my prayer really is, as I ask God, that he would bless you today and enrich your life in a great and mighty way. I want to take just a moment. I'm not sure, but I always want to do this just in case. If you've never been to Nettles Island Church until today, this is your first time to worship with us. We are so delighted, so happy that you've made this your church today, and we welcome you here. And we have a little custom that we're doing at the end of the service. I'll be back at the table, back on my right, and please stop by. Just shake my hand or give me a fist bump and just say hello. Introduce yourself to me, and we have a little gift that we like to give to all of our first-time new friends, and you are that. You're a friend, and if you're looking for a home church, please feel free to come back and join us again. You'll find that people here are friendly. We love Jesus and we love each other, and we'll love you just the same. So come on back and be a part of us. Amen. Couple things going on this week. Next Sunday, it's in your bulletin, so I'm not going to belabor it, but just be reminded, next Sunday is our communion service, and with that will be our benevolent offering. Every quarter we take a benevolent offering, and that money is used right here on the island for people in need, not just church folks, but people in need. If we hear of a need, we have a situation that comes up, somebody needs a little help. You know, Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water to someone who's thirsty in my name, you've done that unto me. And so I love that our church has a benevolent outreach, and you're part of that. So next week, with tithes and offerings, we'll just allow ourselves to give a little extra, mark it for benevolent. And lots going on. Some of you I'll see you on Wednesday downstairs for coffee. And that's really it for the announcements today. Again, thanks for being here. Steve's going to continue to lead us in a couple more songs of worship before we move on in the service today. God bless you as you lead us.
This week we're celebrating our freedom and our independence. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that I was born and raised in America. I'm thankful for that. But I'm thankful that I was born and raised to know and to love God. And for the freedom, the true freedom that you get when you serve Jesus. And that's the most important freedom of all. There's a song, I don't know if you know it, but if you do, sing along. If not, I think you'll know it by the time we get to the second verse. I think it's a Gaither song. It's just entitled, I'm Free. The chorus goes, I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of my past. I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. Who all knows that song? Bill, sing really loud. Hopefully you'll know afterward. All right. So long I had searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and my greed. But then the door of my prison
was opened by love, for the ransom was paid, I was free, and I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of my past, for I traded my shackles for a glorious call. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. And I'm free from the guilt that I carry, from the dull and empty life I'm set free. For when I met Jesus, he made me complete. He forgot the foolish child I used to be. Oh, I'm free from the fear of tomorrow, and I'm free from the guilt of my past, for I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last.
Sing the chorus again.
I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of my past, for I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last.
Sing this chorus.
And glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus the glorious, emancipator,
freedom. It's something we cherish in this country. The idea of a free society is embedded into the very core of our nation. Many have died defending it, and many have fought diligently to preserve it. So where is it gone? We've become a nation bound by division, chained by hatred, and consumed by selfishness. There's an epidemic of violence, poverty, brokenness. Does this look like freedom? The Bible tells us we're called to be free, but it also says to use that freedom to serve one another humbly, in love. Maybe that's what we're missing in America. Today, we celebrate Independence Day. Perhaps it's time we recognize that true independence is found only in a lasting dependence on God. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom.
Mm.
You know, we live in a nation that has slowly, over years and time, forgotten the principles of which it was founded. We've lost our foundation of faith. We enjoy living in freedom, but we've lost sight from where that freedom comes from. And our prayer today for our nation as we launch this week, and 4th of July is coming on Thursday, our prayer today is for our nation to return to its roots, come back to God. And our hope for America is to remember that true and lasting freedom is only found in our dependence upon God. Probably a verse that seems to resonate with me more on days like this and weeks like this than any other time is found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Some of you maybe know it by heart. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and then seek the face of God and turn from our wicked ways. We're not perfect. We talked last week about giving grace and not judgment. It's so easy to be judgmental, isn't it? But turn from our wicked ways. Start with us. Look at the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror. Then God says he'll hear from heaven and will forgive our sin and heal the land. It's not too late for America. The window's closing, I see. That's my opinion. But it's not too late. It's not too late. God is so able. And I just hope and pray, and we're going to pray for America. I know I prayed earlier and brought America into it, but we're going to pray specifically today that God would do a work and that revival would come and that America would turn back to God. That's really the only hope for this nation. As the video played through and you saw some of the, it just kind of highlighted on some of the issues and the problems and the dilemmas. And none of us have our heads in the sand. We're not buried in, you know, life is all just perfect. We know that there are a lot of problems in America, but it's still the greatest nation in the world. God has blessed us immensely over the years and over time, and we need God's blessing again. But 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the answer to bringing God's divine blessing back upon America. And so I'd like to lead us in a prayer, just asking God to forgive us as a people, as a nation, and to restore us back to Him and to restore the glory of America and the power of America and the strength of America. That we again might be the leading nation that leads people in the ways of righteousness and justice and goodness. That the world would see that when they see us. That we would be something that they would want to emulate again. Father, thank you for, again, for just this time, this day and this service to bring our thoughts to America. Father, I know that in this room are people that are patriotic all the way from the tips of their toes to the top of their heads. We love this country. We love America. We see the problems, God. Some of us have lived long enough that we've seen the really good times that America's had, and we see the struggles that she's in today. And Father, I just pray today that you would have mercy upon us. And Lord, that you would again shed your grace upon this land. And Lord, we know that as 2 Chronicles talks about, we can't point our fingers and say, well, it's them. It's those that don't go to church. It's those that don't profess Jesus. We can't say that. It says right here that if we would confess, if we would come, if we would repent, if we would return to you, that's what it would take to bring back restoration. And so, Lord, I pray over the body of Christ in America today, over our church and over all the churches that are meeting at whatever time and place today, that, God, that there would be a stirring in the hearts of people. God, that we would realize that it's not too late, but that we have to cry out to you. It's not business as usual. It's not going through the motions and just knowing that, God, you're some great Santa Claus up there, that you'll just keep pouring out blessings no matter how we live. But, God, we want to turn our hearts to you, and we want to ask you to cleanse us and forgive us and wash us clean. God, that we would be people that would carry the torch for the kingdom of heaven to our communities and to our neighbors, and that we would shine brightly, Lord, the love of Jesus Christ to everybody that we meet, that we would show them that God is a merciful and caring, forgiving and loving God who wants to restore and revive and bring people into fellowship with Him. And so, Lord, we pray for America today. Lord, we pray that You would restore us to goodness, that You would restore us, Lord, to justice, that You would, Lord, we pray for Washington, D.C. today. And we don't pick and choose, Lord, the political side this morning. Lord, we all have our opinions and we all have our thoughts, but today we just cover Washington. And we pray for all of those that have been elected as our leaders, from the President to the Congress to the House of Representatives to the Senate to the governors and to, Lord, all the cabinet people and all their staff, that God, that there would be a move of the Spirit of God, that You would begin to stir Washington, and that they would realize that the hope of all is found in Christ. Father, we pray that You would touch them and bless them and enrich them, and that we would together as a nation come together in unity, that the division that's here, Lord, whether it's racial division, whether it's economic division, whether it's in any other format of division, God, that You would restore, that we would be able to get along like Your word says with our neighbors, that we would love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Father, we just cry out to You today and we lay America before You and we ask that once again that You would hear our prayer, that You might bless this nation, give us a future that's good and prosperous. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining me in prayer this morning on that. Let me ask you a question this morning. I'm going to get into my message and kind of dovetails and it responds to last week's message a little bit. But my question this morning is, have you ever been thirsty? I saw Steve had some water up there and he's got it down there. You're a little thirsty today? Ever been thirsty? I mean really, really, really thirsty, where your tongue sticks to the roof of your mouth. You ever been in a situation like that, or where you have to peel your lips off of your teeth and all you think about is water? I'm not a water drinker. I'll drink anything besides water. And if you give me water, I want a lemon in it. And I hope there's a lot of lemon juice in that lemon. But water's the best thing for you, isn't it? But when you're really, really thirsty, when you're parched, if you've been out in the sun, maybe you've been doing some lawn work and doing some chores, mowing the grass, pulling weeds, planting flowers, whatever it might be, and you just wanted to get the job done and you kept working and you're thirsty and thinking, I'll get water when I go in the house, and you finally go in the house and your head is a little light, you're a little lightheaded, and you're, like I said, your lips are pressed against your teeth and everything's sticking together in your mouth, and all you think about is, I need to get a glass of water. You're not thinking about Coca-Cola or Pepsi or iced tea. You want a glass of water, right? Well, back in 1996, let me tell you a story. There was a young Marine corporal by the name of Joey Mora. He was standing on the platform of his aircraft carrier that was patrolling the Iranian Sea, and he fell overboard. When the sailors discovered that he was missing, a search and rescue mission began. But after 2.5 days of searching for Joey, to no avail, the search was called off. You see, they thought no one could survive in the sea, especially without being even having a life jacket after 60 hours or more. And so the Navy notified Morris' parents that he was missing and presumed dead. The rest of the story is one of those truth is stranger than fiction events. As Mora fought to survive, 4 Pakistani fishermen found him treading water about 72 hours after he had fallen from the aircraft carrier. He was delirious when they pulled him into the fishing boat. His tongue was dry and cracked, and he was seriously dehydrated. They saved his life that day. And as word of the story got out, NBC News brought Corporal Joey Mora into a studio to record and to share his unbelievable story of his will to survive, his will to live. And in that presentation, he said it was God. It was God that kept him struggling to survive. His discovery by the fishermen makes searching for a needle in a haystack a piece of cake, really. Joey said that the one thought that took over his body and pounded his brain constantly as he was treading water and floating there in the ocean was water, water. I need some fresh water to drink. And we can only imagine that today. But you know, physical thirst can be an excruciating and dangerous situation to be in. Dehydration can get you into a serious difficulty in a hurry. Really can. Now I want you to remember a time when you were really, really thirsty. And I want you to try to connect that memory that you're thinking about, that feeling of thirst, to a sense of spiritual thirst this morning. Spiritually thirsty. Thirsty for God. Thirsty for the things of God. Got another story. Stories told. I think it's a parable. I don't think this is true, but it was a young student who went to his spiritual leader and said, "Master, how can I truly find God?" The teacher asked the student to accompany him to a river which ran through the village, and he invited the young student to go into the water. When they got into the middle of the stream, the teacher said, "Please immerse yourself in the water." The student did as he was instructed to do, and as he immersed himself in, the teacher put his hands on the young man's head and held his head under the water. Immediately, the student began to struggle, as we all would, but the teacher continued pressing his head and keeping him held under the water, and the student was thrashing and beating the water and the air with his arms, and still the teacher held his head under the water. Finally, the student was released, and he shot up out of the water, his lungs aching and gasping for air. The teacher waited for a few moments, and then he said to this young student, "When you desire God to the same level that you just desired to breathe, you'll truly find God." And that's true. The Bible says it this way in Psalm 42, verse 1. It says, "As the deer longs," or some versions, the King James says, "pants. As the deer longs for flowing streams or water, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." My prayer today is that starting with me and flowing into all of your lives, that all of us will leave this place with a greater hunger, a greater thirst for the things of God, that we'll want to press into God, that we'll be like that little student, that little fella that was in the water and thinking, "What is going on? I'm going to drown here." And finally he's let free and he's gasping for air and gasping, that we would, in our sense, have a true desire to want more than anything else, to gasp for more and more of God. This morning our message is entitled "Power to Prevail." Power to prevail. Now, talking about that, not just prevailing over our trials and our tribulations and the difficulties that life throws at us. And every one of us have those this morning. You didn't come into this place totally trouble-free, I would guess. We all have something that's going on, a health matter, a financial burden, a relationship struggle, something that keeps us awake sometimes at night or brings tears to our eyes when we stop and we think about it. Not just our own trials and tribulations, but we want power to prevail and to succeed as Christ's followers in making a difference in the world around us, in our community, our world around us, and being the salt of the earth and being the light of the world that the Bible talks about that we're to be, to bring living hope to people that are living in hopelessness and in darkness today. And to do this, I believe that we've got to capture a thirst for and a longing for the presence of God in our everyday lives. I want it to be that we understand that if we really want to make a difference for Christ and advance His kingdom, that we've got to be thirsty for more of God. We need a spiritual thirst and a desire for God that replicates that boy that was gasping for air that I just mentioned in the story. I'm talking about being spiritually thirsty, really thirsty, parched for God. Now, last Sunday, we were talking about the what. We were talking about a world that's in hopelessness, our hopeless world, and what the world needs, if you remember, if you were here and you remember that. And I'll give you the 3 points just in a sentence here this morning, and then we'll move on from that. But what we are to be is in a hopeless and broken world is to reflect Jesus, a reflection of Jesus Christ. When the people that are struggling and they don't have an answer and they don't have any hope, and they see you, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, whether it's the checkout clerk at the cash register at the grocery store, that they would see and say, there's something different. I want what that person has. And what we said last week in 3 points was, if we want to make a difference, if we want to bring hope to a hopeless world, number one, we have to focus on others' needs above our own. We've got to care about other people first and foremost. That's how we really have true joy. I said this last week, the acronym for joy is Jesus first, others second, and yourself third or last. If we'll do that in life, we'll find that joy will just begin to fill our hearts and our lives. But when we focus on me, when it's all about me, and we struggle to make sure that I'm happy, that I'm blessed, that I've got everything that I want before I even give a thought to anyone or any other situation, we're never going to have those things that God wants us to have. Focus on others' needs first. And then we said we've got to be people who are giving grace and not judgment. This world wants to judge everybody. They want to pour it on, and man, they want to just take everybody down. God's called us to be purveyors and carriers of His grace and of His mercy and of His love. And then we said being an encourager. You don't know that the neighbor next to you, the person right down the street, the person that you're talking to later on today, that is so discouraged and so distraught and wondering why they're even alive and why they should even live another day, and they need to be encouraged. Be a Barnabas. Be an encourager of people. Make it your desire and your decision in life. As I go through life, I'm going to say things and do things and act a way that will allow other people to be encouraged by me being in their presence, that I'll make a difference in their life for the good when I walk away from them, that they'll say, I'm glad that Steve was crossed my path today. I'm glad that Jana crossed my path today. I'm so thankful. Man, they just brought something different, and I don't feel the way that I did before. So that's the what. Last week we talked about what it's going to take to bring hope to a hopeless and dying world. Today we want to talk about the how. How do we do that? How do we focus on others, give grace, and be an encourager? How are we going to accomplish these actions and behaviors that will reflect Jesus Christ and lead others to Him? How are we going to succeed at being carriers of the hope that needs to be brought to our broken world? Well, our text this morning is John chapter 7, and it answers the how. So let's take a look at it. John 7, beginning in verse 37, it says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and He said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And by this He meant the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were later to receive. When He left and ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit came down and filled the lives of those that made the church there in Jerusalem. And He's been filling the church, lives in the church, every day, every century, every decade, ever since. But Jesus' words here are these: rivers of living water will flow out of them. That's the plan. That's the how we're to do it today in a nutshell. That's how it's to happen. If there's no life of water, if there's no flow, if you're dry and you're parched and you're a desert inside, you'll never be able to get to the how. You'll never be able to be an encourager or be a grace carrier or to think of others and put others first. It'll never happen that way. It comes as the river of life flows out of us and into those around us. Now, if you want to be a vessel or an instrument, a person that God can use, step one starts with knowing God. I'm not talking about knowing about God this morning. I'm not talking about just, well, yeah, I read the Bible once, or I grew up in a Christian home and they made me go to church and Sunday school every week, or, hey, I go to church on, you know, we used to call them oncers, not because as an insult, but they came to church once a year. They picked either Christmas or Easter. And they come to church. And in our church, we're glad when they come. We want people to come then because we want to love on them and care on them and show them the goodness of God. But we're not talking about those folks that God is just some distant thought out there. Billy Sunday, some of you may know who that name. He was a renowned professional baseball player that turned into an evangelist after he found Christ. And he used to say this. He said, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to the garage makes you an automobile. That's true. Just because we're here today, just because you're seated there and I'm standing here and I'm delivering a message and Steve and Chris brought music to us so we could join in and sing, doesn't make us, being here doesn't make us a believer. Now remember what it said back in our text. It says, whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow out of. Those who truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, those who become saved, or as the Bible terms it in John 3, born again, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again or saved. Once that happens, the Holy Spirit enters into our being, into our lives, and into our hearts, and He quickens us, and we become alive unto God. It's the Holy Spirit who's the source of this prevailing power. No salvation, no Holy Spirit. No salvation, no Holy Spirit, no power. You see, the word salvation or saved is more than just a religious term. It's more than just a phrase that we say, oh, I'm an American. I've talked to people who said, yeah, I go to church once in a while, and I'm an American. I grew up in America. You know, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. More than a religious term. It's a reality that has the power to transform our lives, to change us, to make us what God wants us to be. Salvation is the act of being set free from sin and its consequences. It's the act of being delivered from a life of emptiness and despair and being ushered into a life of purpose and hope and power to prevail. It's an act of being rescued from death and being given the gift of eternal life. And Jesus is the source of that salvation. He's the one who offers it freely to anyone who's thirsty. He's the one who quenches our spiritual thirst with living water of His love and His grace and His truth. He's the one who saves us, not because of anything that we've done, but because of what He has done for us 2,000 years ago on the cross. We receive salvation by believing in Jesus. He said, if anyone believes in me, rivers of water will flow out of them. Now, belief is more than just an intellectual assent. It's more than just agreeing with certain facts about Jesus or certain facts or saying, well, you know, I don't really read the Bible, but I'll agree with you, Steve. The Bible's probably true. Yeah, it's true. It's the Word of God. I'll believe that. But I don't know Jesus. You see, belief is this. It's trusting. It's relying. It's depending upon God for our daily sustenance. It's knowing that without Him, we'll never make it. We'll never make it to heaven. We'll never make it through life. That it's what He did for us, and we embrace that, and we bring that into our lives, not just into our mind, but there's something that happens in our spiritual life. Our spirit comes to life, and relationship with God then begins. And now we're in relationship with Him. Belief in Jesus is an active response. It's action to the call of Jesus. It's a decision that we turn away from our sin and we turn toward Him, a decision to stop relying on my own efforts, on your own efforts to save ourselves or to be good enough, and to start relying on the finished work of Jesus Christ. This belief in Jesus is a dynamic process. It makes the power of God available to us to live in a way that God's Word instructs us to live by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And that's how we do that. So step one is you've got to be saved. If you want to be able to make a difference with neighbors, friends, loved ones, and you want to bring some hope and carry that hope to the world, you've got to have the goods to begin with. You've got to be born again. I told this story before. When I was in law enforcement, I went to the police academy with a young guy, and he got hired with Jupiter as well. And one day we were talking after I was there, and I was doing chaplain work as well as the policing side of it. And he came up to me one day, and we were talking car to car. You know, we were working the same zone. And I got talking about Jesus with him. He says, hey, preach. He used to call me, some of them called me rabbi, some of them called me, preach or preacher. But he said, hey, preach, I'm going to heaven. I said, Lewis, how do you know you're going to heaven? Because I one time when I was a teenager, one of my friends brought me to church, and I walked down the aisle, and the preacher told me to say these words in a prayer, and I said a few words, and he told me I was saved and I was going to heaven. And I said, Lewis, that's just the very beginning. That's the introduction. You've got to know him, you've got to walk with him, you've got to live every day with him. It's not like you got this little piece of paper that you stuff in your suit pocket that says, this is my fire insurance policy, it keeps me out of hell and out of fire. It's my policy to get me to heaven. And I had to have one of these conversations and say that it's so much more. It's all about relationship. I know that many of you have that. Most of you, maybe everybody here today, you're saved, and that's a good thing, because that brings us to where we get the prevailing power. Without the salvation, there's no power. Without the salvation, you'll never be able to go and do and be what God wants you to be. You'll never be able to experience the blessings of God the way that God wants them to without this thing of salvation. But understand, it's an active response. It's a daily response. It's not one little quip of a prayer some preacher told you to pray one time, and that's all that there is to it. It's living your life under the Lordship of Jesus. So here's how we unlock the power. So now we understand that salvation, first step. Is the second step is to surrender now our lives as Christians to the Holy Spirit. We surrender our will. We surrender our life to the Holy Spirit, the source of power. And this surrender is not a defeat. It's not a resignation, but it's a willingness. It's a choice to submit myself to the Holy Spirit. And we do that daily. I try to do that every morning. When I wake up, I say, good morning, Father, thank you for another day. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're in my life. Lead me today. Guide me today. Walk before me. Make the paths that you want the paths to be today. Let your presence and your power flow through me. I don't do that every day. Some days I forget, and then I'll get halfway through a day and go, man, why is this day going the way it's... Oh, yeah, I forgot to do that. You see, it's important that it's an active thing. It's walking in the Spirit, or having the presence of the Spirit, is an invitation to let go of our self-sufficiency and to learn to lean into the divine sufficiency of God, an invitation to let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and empower us. Surrendering to the Spirit is about yielding your control and my control, our control to Him. It's about acknowledging that we don't have all the answers, that we can't do it all on our own strength, that we need the Spirit's guidance and His power in our lives. It's about letting go of our pride, letting go of our fear, letting go of our need for control, and saying this, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. It's about that. It's about trusting in the Spirit's wisdom and relying on the Spirit's strength and resting in the Spirit's peace. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Apostle Paul encourages believers to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That scripture verse, that's just a part of the verse, but he says, be filled with the Spirit. This filling is not a one-time thing. This isn't like, well, I went to church and prayed that one time and I got filled and that's that. If I had a glass of water that I set outside in the heat we've had all week, by the time Wednesday came, if I set it out on Sunday, it'd probably be all evaporated out. And if we think that we can just go and say, God, fill me, and He fills us like that glass of water, and then we can go live our life our way, it's depleting, depleting, depleting. But every day you say, fill me fresh, God, fill me new today. Be filled with the Spirit. That word for be filled means continual, keep being filled. It's not a one-time event. A.W. Tozer, the respected Christian writer, once wrote this. He said, the Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It's part and parcel of the total plan of God for His people. You say, well, why do I struggle? Why can't I ever seem to get the victory? Why do I always, you know, I get up and I don't want to talk the way I talked yesterday, but then I find myself talking that way because we haven't yielded control. We haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to do His thing and to work through us today and walk with Him and get our minds saturated on Him. You see, Tozer said it. He said it's not something for certain types of Christians or certain church denominations, but the Spirit of God dwells in us as Christians, and all we have to say is, fill me today, Holy Spirit. I want to be full of you. I want you to lead and guide and direct my life. And so we yield. And if you don't yield as a Christian, He won't take. He's a gentleman. You know that about the Holy Spirit. He's a perfect gentleman. He doesn't come in and grab you by the nape of your neck and go, you're going to live for God today or else. He's right there. He's longing for you to say, Holy Spirit, I want to live for God today. Will you help me? Will you lead me? Will you give me the right thoughts? Will you give me the right words? Will you direct my path today? Holy Spirit, I yield my life. I yield my mind. I yield myself unto you. Surrendering to the Spirit is about yielding. The second thing about this surrendering to the Spirit is that it's about walking in obedience. Once we yield to Him and we hear that inner thought and He's talking to us in our thoughts and He's directing us, obey and be obedient. You see, it's about aligning our will with God's will and our desires with God's desires and our actions with God's commands. It's about saying yes to God and yes to His Word and yes to His ways. It's about living a life that's pleasing to God, a life that's marked by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. He'll begin to develop those in us. And those are things that we will be able to use as we focus on other people. We'll be able to love better and have more joy to share and peace that just is contagious on other people and kindness and goodness and all those things. Again, Paul in Galatians 5:25, he writes, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. What's he mean by that? Well, this keeping in step with the Spirit's not about following a set of religious rules. I know a lot of us grew up that way. I know when I gave my heart to Jesus and I got into my first little catechism class, they gave me the list of the rules. I said, I'm not even old enough to do some of these sins. Well, you better not do these things. And so it was so easy to start growing up thinking, hey, I'm going to get to heaven if I just do good and I don't do bad. I want to tell you this morning, since we live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. This thing about Christianity is not that hard. Just walk with God. Let Him lead you and just follow where He leads you. He's not going to lead you down to the local pub and you're going to drink four fifths. I don't know if you can drink a whole, fifths? A fifth of whiskey with like a whole bottle, right? I don't think anybody here better be drinking four of those. But see, it's not that. He's not going to lead us there. He's not going to lead us into sin. And so when we keep in step, but see, what we've been brought up with, some of us, is the rules and the regulations. And yeah, we're supposed to live unto God, but there's only two things God really said in the New Testament. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do these, you fulfill or complete all the rest of the rules. Did you know that? If I love God, if I get up and say, God, I don't want to do anything that offends you. I love you so much, and I love you as my neighbors. All those lists of the Ten Commandments, I don't want to do those things against you and offend you and hurt you and sin against you because I love you. God was smart and knows what He was talking about. So it's keeping in step with the Spirit, not the rules and the regulations of religion, but it's relationship with God. It's not about trying harder. It's about trusting more. It's about letting the Spirit lead us, guide us, and empower us to live a life that honors and blesses other people. So how do we do that? How do we surrender to the Holy Spirit? How do we yield our control and our walk to be obedient to Him? It starts like this, and this is the crux of today, of what we're saying. It starts with a decision to trust in the Spirit's wisdom, to rely upon the Holy Spirit's strength, and to rest in His peace. And it continues with a commitment to say yes to God, yes to His Word, and yes to His ways. And so this morning, let's make that decision. Let's make that commitment today. Let's surrender to the Holy Spirit by yielding our control and walking in obedience to Him, experiencing that transformation that only He can bring. And let's let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and work through us with His prevailing power. I want us to leave here today with hearts that are overflowing, with rivers of living water that are just gushing out of us, with a renewed sense of God's goodness and God's love in us, renewed commitment to live for Him and to be filled with His joy in our salvation, that our salvation brings us such joy, May our prayer today be for the Holy Spirit to anoint our lives and flow out of us, just like Jesus talked about, so that we can touch others, so that we can make a difference in their lives, and we can reflect the image of Jesus Christ to them. There's a little song that goes like this. Just let me share the words of it. Holy Spirit, flow through me. Make me what I ought to be. Holy Spirit, rest on me and use me, Lord, to win the lost to Thee. Holy Spirit, flow out from me that others may see You in me. Make my life what it ought to be. Help me to win the lost for Thee. And may others see You in me. Oh man, that's what I want for Rob Volpe today. That's what I want for you. I want us to live the joyous Christian life and know that we're impacting people, and know that when we stand before God one day, we have all that confidence. He's going to say, man, I'm so glad you followed me and listened to my spirit. And you did this and you did this and you did this for me, and well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. See, that's what it's about. But the power to prevail, you have to be saved, and then you have to yield your life in obedience to the Holy Spirit, surrender to Him. Let's do that today. Would you stand with me as we pray? And as I pray, just would you make this your prayer today? Just ask God, right where you're seated at your or standing at your chair, would you make that your altar today? As we pray, just ask the Holy Spirit to just fill you to overflowing. We all get tired. We all get dry. We all get parched. We all find that the evaporation process has happened. But I don't want you to leave today without being filled afresh and anew. Father, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for Your mercy, goodness, and love to us. God, first of all, I would pray that if by chance, if there was even one here today that's never offered their heart and their life to Jesus Christ, if there's one that would say, well, I've been in church and I've tried to be good and I've tried to do the things that I'm supposed to do. They told me, do this and don't do that. God, we learn today that it's not about rules. It's about relationship. And so, God, I pray right now that if there's one that they would just pray, say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I choose You today. I receive You as my Savior and as my Lord. And I want to live the rest of my days for You. And I invite Your Holy Spirit to come in and fill me. Let rivers of water flow out. Father, I pray for those of us that know You. We've been saved maybe for a long time. God, today we need a fresh infilling. We need a fresh flow. We need to tap into the waters of heaven that they can flow into us and then flow out of us. And so, God, as we make an altar right where we stand today, I pray that You would just cause us to hunger and thirst after righteousness, because the Bible says we'll be filled. And once we're filled, we can outflow. And we can give out, and we can be what You've called us to be to a hurting and broken world that's lost without hope. And so, God, right now, may the prayer of our heart and the cry of our heart be right here, right in this minute. God, take my life. I surrender it unto You. And may it be today, Holy Spirit, would You flow through me? Make me what I ought to be. Holy Spirit, would You flow through me? Win other people to You through me. Holy Spirit, would You flow out of me so that others may see Jesus, that I might reflect Jesus as they look at me. Father, I pray this today in Jesus' name. I pray blessing on Your people. I pray that You would strengthen us and quicken us. I pray that every need that's here, every problem, every burden, every sickness, every disease, every relational issue today, in the name of Jesus Christ, we offer those to You. We lay them at Your feet, and we ask, Holy Spirit, that by Your power and by Your strength, You might move in the hearts and the lives of Your people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. The secret is the Holy Spirit, folks. Invite Him in every day and let Him flow out of you. You'll be amazed at what God will do in your life. Amen. Steve is going to lead us in a closing song together. Thank you for being here. Have the best 4th of July. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you sometime real soon. Definitely on Sunday.
God bless America.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. Through the mountains, to the prairies, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. And God bless America, long and loved. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans,
you are dismissed.